Talk a little bit about the end times today, but we're talking about last Sunday. What if Jesus came back today and the rapture happened? Matthew 24, verse 36, I'm just going to start there. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't believe that's talking about when Jesus comes to earth, because people aren't going to be marrying and partying and having fun and no knowledge of Jesus coming in the middle of tribulation. They know something's up. And it's the rapture. Then, verse 40, then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief had come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What if this was your last Sunday? Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord, thank you for the chance to be at church. Thank you for your word. Lord, these are pretty sobering words, and we thank you to give us warning and help us to be people who are ready for you to come. And Lord, I pray today as we focus on this, what if this is my last Sunday, as this is the last Sunday of the year, I pray that your spirit would convict and work powerfully. I pray if someone doesn't know you as Savior, they would come to know you today and be born again. And thank you for the chance to look into your scripture. Please give me the words to say and empower them in a great way. And thank you for the people who've come today in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't know much about the end times. Most of my beginning of my life, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't grow up in church or learn about God or anything. And I guess I was 12 and maybe been to church twice in my life. And I went to a friend's house, a neighbor's house, who's a man across the street to the right. And me and one of my friends from next door went to the house. And it was a summer night, and it was pretty late at night, and he was in the garage, and we were talking. And he said, yeah, he says, do you guys hear about the moon is going to turn red tonight? And there was some atmospheric thing that made the moon turn red that night, as it does occasionally. And we said, no. And he said, you know, now my friend, this friend that we knew, the man, he was a good man, but he was a backslidden Christian. And been away from God for a pretty long time. He eventually came back to God and came to our church and had his life transformed many years later. It's a neat story, but a long story that we won't tell. But this friend's name is Tom, and Tom Castle. You know Tom Castle? And Tom Castle, and he said, well, in the end times, that's the moon turns blood red, and it might be a sign of Jesus coming back. And we said, well, what happens then? We're all scared. And he says, well, there's like meteors hit the world, and there's an evil person, an antichrist, and all kinds of crazy things. But he says, all the Christians get taken out first. And I said, well, my friend said, well, are we Christians? We were the neighborhood heathens. We were the bad kids. And he said, well, I don't know. Are you guys Christians? And my friend said, I don't know. And I said, well, I have some Christians in my family, and my aunt and uncle are Christians, and maybe it's osmosis. And it rubs off on you somehow. And he not knowing the Bible and being away from God, and I don't know why he said it, but he said, oh, if your family's Christian, you'll be fine. Luckily, that wasn't the rapture, because I wouldn't have been fine. And I was very scared at that time, thinking, you know, all this crazy stuff's going to happen, and I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't learn anything about it until I started serving God, 17, 18 years old, and started learning the Bible. The rapture is not a Bible word, the word rapture, but it's a word that means snatching out. If you reach into a bowl and you grab something out, you're actually raptured. That candy bar or that fish you're pulling out or whatever it is being raptured. You're snatching it out of an area. And we call that the term rapture because that's what Jesus does. Jesus there's two events when in his coming, and the first event is what we call the rapture, where he snatches out the believers, the born-again Christians. Later on, he physically comes to earth, and he lands on the Mount of Olives. He comes down to earth physically. He destroys the armies of the world in Armageddon. Then he comes and physically comes onto earth, and he rules for 1,000 years from earth. But before that, there's 7 years in between when where chaos the world's never seen before happens. The Bible talks a lot of things that are going to happen in the end times, and the things that will be there in the end times. For example, it says in the end times that Israel will be a nation, and Israel wasn't a nation for 3,000 years almost, 2,500 years, and then it became a nation in 1947 and 48. It became a nation again, and it says that Europe will become a reunited, and that's happened in 1992, 93, 94. The European Union came back together, and a bunch of things that will happen that had to happen. The tribulation, that seven-year period, says will happen. The world had to become a lot smaller and united. The world was too big. They had to become one government, which we're going towards, one currency. It had to happen where, and all these things are happening as we watch. Of course, European Union was a crazy thing to ever have happened. They never thought Europe would get back together. They kept on having world wars against each other. And eventually things, the power has to be taken away from America and go back to Europe, which America is starting to play a smaller role and Europe's rising. All these things are happening towards the end times, and they'll continue. All these things will continue to happen. Israel has to have a war with their enemies, with their neighbors, and they have to be willing to trade land for peace, which of course we see with the Palestinians. That's specifically going to happen. Lots of things have got to happen and have been happening going towards the end time thing. There's two witnesses, two people in the end times that die, and it says everybody in the world is able to see their dead bodies. Well, some system had to come out when that was written in 95 AD. It would be ridiculous to say that people dead 3 days, everyone in the world will see them. People in France couldn't see them. People in India couldn't have seen them. Now we understand we can all see their bodies lying there. Of course, they didn't know about television in 95 AD, but God did. And that's why we know it's the Word of God. In this rapture, in this taking out, what happens is a trumpet blows, and those who are saved, those who accepted Christ as their personal Savior, they disappear. They don't slowly rise. It's faster than you can blink your eye. It says in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, and we'll talk about that. But literally, just the born-again believers are gone. And the world's thrown into chaos. You figure however many born-again Christians there are, there's a lot of them. There's billions of them. And boom, they're all gone instantly. A world leader will arise that time with peace. He'll look like a great guy. He'll bring peace to the world. He'll sign a peace treaty with Israel. He'll bring a peaceful time in the world since it's never known. That man's actually the Antichrist. He'll end up being a terrible person who will force you to worship him or cut off your head. And he will make a monetary system where if you don't take the mark of the beast, and he's the beast, then you get your head cut off. And of course, people used to say, how in the world can they do that? You can't have some kind of system where if you don't have this mark, you can't buy or sell. That's ridiculous. You can always find somebody who'll take your money. Well, now we got computer systems. That'll be really easy to do. All they do is just digitize it and put the they already have the little chips. Verichip has that in Florida. They install chips that got all your information on you. It's being done. Of course, the Bible told about that. And you'll be in big trouble if you're there because you got to face the Antichrist, and he's not a nice guy. And it's a time where Jesus Christ literally takes those. It's very scary for those left behind because millions of people will be gone. And if they knew anything about the Bible, they'll understand, I got left behind, and now I have to go through 7 years of the worst time in history. Terrible things will happen, and it'll be a big mess, and it's very, very scary. If Christians aren't ready, the Bible teaches that it's a very shameful time for them. However, you say, you know what? I know I'm saved, Pastor. I know I'm a Christian. I know my sins are forgiven, so I'm looking forward to the rapture. Not everybody, when the rapture happens, who is saved will be taken up, will be happy. The Bible says in 1 John 2:28, it says, "Little children," it's our memory verse, "abide in Him, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." When he appears, we shall be confident and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Some Christians in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're taken up and you face Jesus Christ and you go to the judgment seat of Christ, they call it. And every man will give an account for what he had done according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. Not everybody at the judgment seat just gets good job, great job, here's your rewards. Many people are ashamed before him at his coming. And some of you today, you said if the rapture happened during the service and all of a sudden this microphone dropped to the ground and the rapture happened, I know I'd be up there, but I would be ashamed of some things. Don't be that way. Let's treat today like it's going to happen today. By the way, if all of a sudden the rapture happened, I'm not going to be here. I don't know who else will be here. It might be one person left. You might be the last person left. There might be two or three of you. And all of a sudden, you just see emptiness in the room. You don't see us leave. We're just gone. And you're alone. And you know what? You're not going up in the rapture, even if you get saved right then. If I were you, I would ask Christ to save me real quick. Because either if you get saved after that, you don't get to go up in the rapture still. You're left behind. And it won't be pretty. You could do whatever you want. You could do any protection. You could go build a super bomb shelter cave. It doesn't matter. It's going to be terrible. Most of the world will die terrible deaths. A lot of people will try to commit suicide, and they will not be able to commit suicide. God makes it so death for a while doesn't come to people. You could blow your brains out. You won't die. It's a terrible time. Which one is it for the rapture? The rapture can be one of two things for you. The Bible says, comfort one another with these words. It can be a time where we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I'm excited about it. Come on, take me out of this messed up world and fix this world. Because at the end of 7 years, the world gets fixed forever. No more wars, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Everything's fixed. But for 7 years, it'll be terrible. But you know what? Even so, come, Lord Jesus, if you're ready. You're ready to get to see Jesus, ready for a new body, ready for paradise, ready for your mansion, ready to have fullness of joy, happier than you could ever be on earth forever. I'm ready, Jesus. I'm right with you. I've gotten right with you. Or you're the person who says, oh, man, Jesus, don't come. I got to get some things right. Or you're the person who says, I'm not even saved. If he comes, I'm in big trouble because I don't know if I'm going up. Today, I want you to be ready. Everybody can be ready today. By the end of this service, you can be ready. No matter what the case is, you can be completely ready. I want to give you just some characteristics for the rapture, the characteristics of what will happen. And which one is it for you? Is it, I'm excited for him to come, I'd be ashamed if he came, or if he came, I'd be left behind? Whichever the case, I want you to be ready today and be comforted and be excited about the rapture, because it's an exciting event for those in the world. This world's gone on long enough, being the mess it is. You know, in the history of the world, there's 36 years of recorded peace. It's pretty pathetic, isn't it? There's always been a war somewhere. There's people dying all the time. It's diseases and everything. It's ready for this world to just be fixed and let Jesus come back and redeem everything and fix it. What are some characteristics of the rapture? Number one, it is selective. It is selective. Matthew 24, verse 40. And then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Some people will not be taken. It is a selective rapture. It is not for everybody. It is for those who are born again. But those who are born again, those who have accepted Christ in their life, it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's not always going to be bad. He says, it's going to be okay. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible teaches that at the rapture, the bodies of those who've already died, who are saved, will be instantly taken up before us. In just a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, their bodies go up and they get new bodies. Right now, they're just souls in heaven. They don't have their bodies, but your body in 1 Corinthians 15 is traded in for a new body. And so their bodies will go up first. We will go immediately after them, but it'll be so quick you won't see the difference. We who are saved, we actually die in the air. Everybody has to die, the Bible says. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this judgment, we'll be flying up in the air, and on the way up, we'll get a new body. All kinds of totally fixed, a perfect body. And it is a selective rapture. If it came today, it could come at any moment. And the best of the thing about it is, it says it's a mystery when it comes. It could come before I finish my next sentence. It can happen in 10 years. We don't know. Nobody knows when it'll happen. And it's a selective rapture. Are you born again? See, it's very simple. Your sins have separated you from God, just like my sins separated me from God. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God has a perfect heaven, and if he sees one sin in your record, he can't go. So God said, nobody will make it to heaven. There's none righteous. No, not one. Let me figure out a way to take away their sins, because they can't do it. Jesus, I want you to go down and you're perfect and you're the Son of God. I want you to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. You're going to be humiliated and tortured and suffer their hell for them. And I want you to die for them on the cross. And Jesus came down. He was perfect. He never sinned. He was virgin born, the Son of God. He died on the cross and all of your and my sins went upon him on the cross. And he suffered a terrible, terrible death, being punished for our sins in our place. He died for every one of your sins, and if you want to go to heaven, your sins have already been paid for. It's just a matter of accepting his payment. It does say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's got eternal life. It's a gift. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to become a member of church. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to live a good life. You can't live a good enough life. All you have to do is let Jesus Christ come in and be your Savior and accept his payment for your sins and let him save you. If you trust a church or a religion, or you trust me, or you trust yourself to save you, you'll never be saved because your sins have separated you from God. But those who've done that, and I did that when I was just turning 16 years old, and I came and I said, Lord, I need a Savior, and I asked him to save me, and he came in and forgave me for all my sins, and he changed my life and made me a new person. And you know what? I'm not perfect, but I know that I'll go to heaven because I know that my sins are paid for. And if you want to do that today, there's no weird ritual. There's no embarrassment of it. You come to Jesus and say, Lord, I believe you died for me and rose again from the dead. I know I'm a sinner. I right now trust you as my Savior and ask you to take away my sins. And you're ready. You're ready for the rapture. Your sins are forgiven. It's that simple. He paid the price. It's a gift. Gifts aren't complicated to receive. You just got to want it, and they say yes. And that's all you got to do. And if you want to go to heaven when you die, let Jesus save you. He wants you to do that. Will you look forward to the rapture, or will you be afraid of the rapture? If you miss the rapture, your time will be terrible on earth. You might say, oh, my soul, I missed the rapture. Oh, no. Jesus, please save me. I accept you as my Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again. Please come into my heart and forgive me for my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please save me. And you'll be saved, and God loves you, and he'll take away your sins. That's great. Except for you'll be in the worst time in history. The Bible, many people believe that you can't get saved in the tribulation if you've already heard the gospel, because there will be a strong delusion that people will believe a lie. But I don't believe that. The Bible says an innumerable host will be saved. And the Bible numbers up to 200 million. So a lot of people are going to be saved during the tribulation. And everybody will see a bunch of things, these things happening. But a bunch of the bad things are going to happen. There'll be 75-pound hailstones falling. That will crack your windshield. Boy, man, if I can invest in windshield companies during the tribulation, good night. That'll happen. The sun will get so hot for a period that it literally scorches everybody. I mean, it burns you, blisters you, kill you. And by the way, it looks like there's not going to be modern conveniences during the tribulation. There's going to be an earthquake so big, every mountain and every island is moved out of its place. If that were to happen, every power line and every pipe and everything else is going to break. And the people who start fighting in the end times are riding horses and using swords again. I believe that's because you can't pump oil and the power's gone. So your air conditioning isn't going to work, and it'll get so hot. Listen, it gets hot in the world. Guys who are in Iraq talking about 130 degrees and stuff. It's going to get so, but you can go out in 130 degrees. But it's going to get so hot it literally scorches men to death. The heat increases from the sun. Creatures, literally an angel comes and opens up hell. And little creatures like scorpions come out of hell and they sting you. And when they sting you, it hurts so bad that you want to die. Everybody who gets stung wants to commit suicide. But they can't commit suicide. The Bible says death flees from them. And they literally get stung by these creatures, and every bit of their body comes in incredible agony. For a period of time, boils come upon every man and boils upon their skin, and all these boiling things all over your skin and lesions and agony. It happens. There's wars like there's never been wars before, and rumors of wars. The water turns into blood, and a huge percentage of it does. A giant comet hits the world that is so big it poisons a third of the world's water all at once. Can you imagine the tsunamis from a giant comet hitting the world and all that? A period of blackness comes where it's such blackness that you feel the blackness, it says. Like being in the bottom of a dark, dark, dark cave, only nobody can see anything and no lights will work, and everybody's just in total blackness and terror. That won't be fun with creatures from hell crawling on you. It's not going to be a pretty time. The Antichrist will come and he will demand that you worship him. And if you don't worship him and take his mark, he cuts off your head. Every believer who follows God, they'll have to run and hide and try to figure out how to eat, because they can't buy or sell anything. Unless they take the mark, you take the mark, you go to hell forever. There's no redeeming you once you take the mark. All this stuff is going to happen. Oh, come on, that's just figurative. Every prophecy in the Bible was literal. When it said Jesus would hang upon a tree 600 years before he was born, he hung upon a tree. When it said his side would be pierced, his side was pierced. When it said he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. When it said that 30 pieces of silver would be used to buy a potter's field, that 30 pieces of silver was used to buy a potter's field. When it said Israel would be a nation again, Israel became a nation again. When it said all these things, when it said the European Union would rise, when the Roman Empire would come back again, it literally happened. Everything literally happens in prophecy, and it's 100% accuracy. All those things are going to happen. If I were you, I would just avoid that period of time. I would get right with God and be saved. I would trust Christ. I wouldn't go through all that. It's not going to be fun. For 5 months, the creatures from hell sting people. There is droughts. There is terrible things. There are some things, with all those things that are just listed, understand, there are three things that when God opens those plagues, they're so bad that silence comes in heaven. And God says, don't even tell about those ones. That's pretty bad. Completely devastating earthquakes. The whole entire world is in a different nature. Everything's talk about global warming. It ain't gonna be man-made this time. It's gonna be scorching, and it's gonna be a disaster. If you accept Christ during that time, you will be beheaded, or you'll be hiding, looking for food. You can't buy or sell anything. And boy, it's gonna be hard to hide from the Antichrist, because he's the ruler of the world. There'll be one world government. Listen, folks, don't go through that. You don't have to go through it. It's a choice to go through it. Jesus Christ loves you. He doesn't want you to go through it. He's already died for you. And today, if you want to trust Christ as Savior, you can. It's already been paid for. You don't have to give any money. You don't have to do any somersaults. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to do anything but just say, I accept what you did. I want to be saved today. And he did that for you, and he doesn't want you to go through it. First of all, it's selective. Do not be left behind. Second of all, the second coming of Christ, it is sudden. It is sudden. It says one taken and also is left. It's just that instantaneous. If you go to Matthew 24 and verse 27, it says, for as a lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's pretty quick, lightning flashing across the sky. 1 Corinthians specifically talks about a timetable. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means not everybody's going to die. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Some nerdy guy at MIT decided to figure out what a twinkling of an eye was. And it's not a blinking, it's twinkling, a twitch. And it's like 0.00003 of a second. It's instantaneous. It says one just disappears. It is sudden. It's a moment. And that means this, there's no time to change. Huh! Mary's going up to heaven. Oh, Lord, save me. This isn't going to be a slow motion movie, folks. I'm going to go. It's not going to work like that. You're saved or not saved. It's boom. Where'd they go? And we're not. And by the way, you're not going to be doing this. Okay, oh, Lord, by the way, I did this and this, and I'm sorry for this, and Lord, I forgive me for this, and by the way, where's Susie? Oh, I'm so sorry, Susie. There's no time for that. If it came right now, those relationships that are wrong are wrong. Those things you're ashamed of, he says you'll be ashamed before him is coming. You'll be saying, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Oh, man. Why'd you have to come now? By the way, that's the way it's going to work. It always works that way. When the relative comes just the wrong time, everybody comes just when you don't want them to, you know how that works. And Jesus will come right when you said, why now? No! Somebody will be asleep. Somebody will be awake. It'll be nighttime in some places, daytime in others. But everybody will be instantaneous. You won't have time to fix things. So be ready always. Be ready always. Next, it is unexpected. Look at Matthew 24 again. It is unexpected. The rapture. Last Sunday. What if this was the day? What if God didn't preach this message? Because he's coming at 2:45 today. What would you do differently between now and then? How would your day be different? Would you regret how you spent this last week? Would you regret this last month? Would you regret your life? Man, you know, I didn't start serving God until 16. Can I tell you, I did nothing for 16 years that matter, but I don't regret life. I've had a great life. Life's been so good, and I've been blessed in so many ways. But you know what? Above all, I've lived my life for the Lord. And if he comes, I'll say, you know what? I started at 8:15 yesterday morning. I got to bed at 12:30 last night doing your work, Lord. I'm glad I spent Saturday like that. You know what? I don't want to be ashamed. I want to say, you know what? You know what? Go ahead and come. Like you're at work and the boss, and you're saying, you know what? I don't know why the boss comes by. I'm working hard. But sometimes, you ever been where the boss comes, you know, when the boss comes by, right? When you take that break, you've been working hard all day, but you take a 5-minute break, and there he, what are you doing? You ain't doing nothing all day. Don't be that guy with Jesus. Just live a life where he comes and you say, I'm glad I've done what I've done. I've got to live like I did. I've got to live for eternity and help people and made a difference in the world. It's unexpected. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Remember, Jesus, when he came to earth, he put apart his deity and became a man. And he was God with us, but he was also 100% man. He grew in wisdom and stature. Jesus Christ came down and had to learn everything. He had to learn the Bible. He had to learn from his parents. He had to learn everything as a human. And now in heaven, he knows all things again. But when he's a human on earth, he said, I don't even know when he's coming back. Because the Father didn't share it with anybody. Verse 44, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Bible says men shall say peace, peace, but then cometh sudden destruction. I tend to think that the rapture will come right at the start of the tribulation, when people think the peace treaty is going to be signed, the world's going to have peace. Now, a lot of people debate this. A lot of Christians spend a lot of wasted time debating pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, pre-wrath, all this, all these different things. Can I tell you? That's not God. What God teaches. God does not say it's going to happen pre-tribulation. God does not say it's going to happen mid-tribulation, pre-wrath, pre-this, pre-that. God does not say that thing. That is not the thing. It is unexpected. Jesus says 6 different times, I come as a thief, and no man knows when. Verse 42, watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But if this, and know this, that the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered. He would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Listen, it says you're supposed to watch and be very careful, pay attention, but I come as a thief. And then he repeats that over and over, and he repeats it in 1 Peter, and he repeats it in Revelation, twice in Revelation. He said, behold, I come quickly, I come as a thief, and no man knows, and I come as a thief in the night. He keeps repeating, I'm going to come like a thief in the night when you don't expect it. But he does say, watch, for if you did know when a thief was coming, you'd be prepared for him to come. If all of a sudden there was a guy coming in front of my house and he kept looking inside my house, and he kept looking inside my house, and he kept day by day looking, and when I'd drive away, I would see him start pulling into my house, and I'd drive back around and all of a sudden drive away, I'd say, you know what, this guy's trying to break into my house. And maybe one day I had my little two-way radio on and we were using it for something, and all of a sudden he was talking to his friends, making plans for when he's going to come to my house, and he said, okay, this Thursday night at 2 in the morning, that's where we're coming. We're going to rob this house. It came over my little radio station, let's say. Guess what? He'd have a surprise waiting for him. He'd meet my Great Dane. She'd lick him to death. Doesn't matter. All they have to do is look tough. That's all that matters. My 44 Magnum would be waiting for him. Might call the police. Send Josiah ahead. Go take care of him. If you don't get him, I'll take care of him. And I'll be ready for him. If I knew when he's coming. And it says, watch real carefully, because you can see things happen, and you won't be taken unaware if you're really paying attention. You won't know the hour of the day, but you know he's coming. Boy, look at that. Israel's a nation again. Look at that. They're trying to get peace. They're trying to get a roadmap for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Look, the dollar is collapsing, and a bunch of nations are clamoring for the first time ever for us to get away from the dollar bill. Interesting. Never happened before. Everybody's always loved the dollar. China, Russia, these nations are screaming, we've got to get off this dollar. They're figuring out ways. They're figuring out ways because of terrorism to to take care of money, no matter what nation they're coming from and where they're trading it, so we can get rid of the terrorist money. Maybe we can figure out a way to buy and sell all under an approved system. And you start seeing things happen, and you say, the thief's coming. I know what's coming. And you get ready for it. But the thing about it is, it says no man knows the day or the hour. Just some people can be paying attention and kind of know, but they don't know the day or the hour. Nobody knows. See, the teaching of the Bible is not pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation is going to happen. We know very specific dates in the end times. We know that the two prophets will prophesy for 1,260 days. It says that. We know it'll be 3.5 years from the start of the tribulation, which is a peace treaty with Israel, until the Antichrist goes and defiles the temple that will be built. We know it's 3.5 years, and 3.5 years from that, you can count down the dates. If you're there during the tribulation, you know exactly 3.5 years, exactly the day Jesus will come back to earth. But that rapture, nobody knows. There's no time frame for it. All he says is, you don't know. Be ready always. Get ready. You never know what hour I'm going to come. Be ready always. Pay attention. Watch. Be ready. Be prepared. Because the teaching of the Bible is what we call the imminent return of Christ. It can happen at any moment. I don't know what's going to come. If it happened 3 days after the peace treaty, no big deal to me. I know it's not going to happen in mid-tribulation because I know the exact day that the middle of the tribulation is. I can count down the days. Daniel tells me the number of days. It counts the days. It tells me specifically it's this many days from here to here. If he's going to come in the middle of the tribulation, I know the day, and I don't know the day, so I know it's not that day. Because nobody knows the day. I know when the guy wrote 88 Reasons Jesus is going to come back in 1988, and he said it's going to come September 11th through 13th in 1988, I knew it wasn't coming then because nobody knows. I can mark those days off. All I know, he can come any time, and nobody knows. It's going to be a surprise. For such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Okay, I think it's going to happen this day. Okay, I know it's not that day. I don't know when he's going to come. I don't know if it'll come 3 days in the tribulation, 3 months before the tribulation, three weeks after the treaty, 3 months after the treaty, 14 days. I don't know when he's going to come. He might come today. I might not finish my next sentence. I might live to be 70. 50 more years. And just want to see if you're paying attention. And I don't know. I just know I better be ready all the time. And you know what? I hope I'm ready today. I hope my sins are confessed up. I hope I mistreated somebody. I hope I got it right. I hope I'm not living for God. I'm getting it right. I hope I'm at church tonight at 6 p.m. Oh, you'd be embarrassed. Jesus comes at 6:15 tonight, and you're watching football. Oh, boy, would you be in trouble. You'd be ashamed. You're sleeping. You're not doing anything. Church doors are open. I'd be there. Be ready. Thief's going to come. You don't know when. Quit debating about when it's going to come. Just be ready always. That's the teaching of Jesus. You don't know when I'm going to come. Get ready all the time. Quit being all so. Quit trying to figure everything out. Well, I took the Antichrist's name, divided it by two, added the number of days in the tribulation, divided it by the book of Daniel, and made Jesus' name into numbers, and stop. Just get ready anytime. Get ready at any time. We said the rapture is selective. We said it's sudden. We said it's unexpected. And last of all, it's final. It's final. Verse 37 of Matthew 24 says, "For as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and knew not that the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of Son of Man be." Two things the Bible relates to the rapture, two stories. It says Noah and Lot. In both cases, God destroyed something, like he's going to end the tribulation. Both times, God's people were paying attention and were warned. Well, Lot wasn't paying good attention, but God saved him and warned him and took him out. By the way, that's why I don't think we're going through the tribulation. In Noah's day and in Lot's day, the same way that the tribulation is compared to, God took his people out first both times. Okay, that's why I don't think we'll go through tribulation, because it's the same way, and God took his people out first. If there's a bunch of really, really bad people and my kids were in the house with them, I would take my kids out before I blew the house up. Okay? And so I lean towards the pre-tribulation because of that reason, but I don't know, because no man knows. But I lean towards pre-tribulation because anything else seems like you can know when it's coming. But he says two times, what happened? Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, except for God's people, and everybody was destroyed in the world except for Noah and his family. It was final. It was a destruction. It was powerful. Maybe if you've heard the gospel now and you won't get saved sitting in a service like this, you won't trust Christ when you're hearing the gospel and somebody loves you and it's easy to get saved, why in the world you get saved? It means you get your head cut off and you can't eat. See, this thing, when it's done, you can't all of a sudden say, I want to go up in the rapture now. It's final. It's done. The tribulation's put in motion. Nobody can stop it. It's going to happen. The Antichrist will rise. All this is going to happen. There will be a false prophet that does miracles. And everything will happen just like the Bible says. And I just want to go back to our memory verse for the day. It's 1 John chapter 2. 100% accuracy. The Bible prophecies always come true, no matter how much they say. All this, that's not literal. It always is. It always happens that way. 1 John 2:28. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him." Stay close to him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Can I ask you today, do you have confidence if Jesus came back, you're confident in your relationship with him? It's pretty tough to have that confidence, but you can, because God will help you. "We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." What's done is done. Revelation 22. Last chapter of the Bible. In the book of Revelation here. It's final. Revelation chapter 22, last chapter of the Bible. It says in verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he which is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he which is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." By the way, notice how many times he says, "I come quickly." He wrote that in 95 AD, this particular time he said that. Quickly is not a what time frame, it's the speed at which he comes. It's final. Whatever you're done is done. You can't win another soul. You can't do anything else. You can't pray again. You're done. "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to get every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." He says, it's done. You ever freeze frame yourself? I was talking to somebody. It was very funny. They've always been very, very in good, very good shape. Very, very healthy. And then they got a little pudgy. And they said somebody took a picture of them jumping off of something to jump into a river, and their belly was hanging down in the picture. You get a freeze frame yourself? Say, "I don't look like that." Or you get some dumb look in the middle of the picture. You pause it. "Let him that is holy be holy still. Him that is filthy be filthy still. Him that is unjust, let him be unjust still." He says, just freeze frame everything for eternity. "Because I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to get every man as his work shall be. And when I come, you can't go and give any more money to the cause of Christ. You can't go and feed another poor person. You can't go love a person who's not been loved. You can't go back and rebuild a life. And you can't go help somebody get off drugs. And you can't go invite somebody to church. And you can't go, it's done. What's done is done. You can't all of a sudden go and undo that bad habit that you won't give up. You can't change your language. You spoke the way you spoke. Fix it before he comes, because once it's done, you're..." And some people are ashamed before him is coming. Just a couple questions. How has your life been spent if Jesus came today? How has your life been spent if Jesus came today? And secondly, how would you change your life because he is coming and you don't know when? The Bible says, "Every man, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Those who believe Jesus coming at any moment, they purify themselves. They get it right. Let me ask you today, are some things not right that you need to get fixed today? Are you not saved today? I'm going to give you a way. You can right now have your sins forgiven. I won't embarrass you. It's not going to take anything special. You don't have to be talented or anything else. You just have to say yes to Jesus. If you are saved, then you'd be ashamed and you're not ready. Can you fix that today? Because he's coming and we don't know when. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we've talked about last Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the year, but what if it was the last Sunday